Hi. It's nice to see you all. It's nice to be here. I haven't been a frequent Zoom church participant, maybe an ever a Zoom church participant. But this is really nice. So thank you for being here. I love it. So at St. Lydia's this Lent, we've been talking about the importance of Sabbath and rest. And there's a lot to unpack in this passage. But instead of talking about Matthew, I'm going to start with another sacred text. It's Frog and Toad Are Friends by Arnold Lobel. It's going to be easier for you to see it now on the Zooms, I think, than last night outside. Okay. If you're not familiar with Frog and Toad, then I recommend. Very good. And number two thing, all you need to know is that Frog and Toad are friends. And I'm going to read you just the beginning of the story called Spring. Frog ran up the path to Toad's house. He knocked on the front door. There was no answer. "Toad, Toad," shouted Frog. "Wake up, it is spring." "Blah," said a voice from inside the house. "Toad, Toad," cried Frog. "The sun is shining. The snow is melting. Wake up." "I am not here," said a voice. Frog walked into the house. Was dark. All the shutters were closed. "Toad, where are you?" called Frog. "Go away," said the voice from a corner of the room. Toad was lying in bed. He had pulled all the covers over his head. Frog pushed Toad out of bed. He pushed him out of the house and onto the front porch. Toad blinked in the bright sun. "Help," said Toad. "I cannot see anything." "Don't be silly," said Frog. "What you see is the clear, warm light of April, and it means that we can begin a whole new year together, Toad." "Think of it," said Frog. "We will skip through the meadows and run through the woods and swim in the river. In the evenings, we will sit right here on this front porch and count the stars." "You can count them, Frog," said Toad. "I will be too tired. I'm going back to bed." So, if you want to know how it ends, I'll text me. We can talk later. As Lent is coming to a close this year, I find myself feeling a little bit like Toad in the story, blinking in the sun. Not quite ready to skip through the meadows and swim in the river. I'm happy for the warmer weather. I'm happy for more hours of daylight and being able to gather outdoors. I definitely don't want to go back to bed. But Lent is my favorite season in the liturgical calendar, and I'm not quite ready for it to end. Lent is a solemn time. It's a time to grieve. All of us have so much to grieve. It's an invitation to slow down and look inward. Some of us give something up. Some of us adopt a Lenten practice or both in order to come closer to God during these 40 days. One year, I gave up sugar and jealous thoughts, and I vowed to get up at 6 and pray for half an hour every morning. I always set myself up with a goal I know will be really hard. And I feel this sense of desperation when Lent is ending. Like I just had this once a year chance to really challenge myself and really grow. And I just need a little bit more time to try a little bit harder. Seems weird to say that's my favorite season, right? A season of being hard on myself. So as I've been thinking about the sermon over the past couple of weeks, I'm asking myself, why do I love Lent so much? And this is what I came up with. So stick with me. We're going to make our way back to Matthew and Sabbath and the sheep and Frog and Toad. And there's going to be some Taylor Swift along the way. It's going to be fine. Sometimes when something good happens, or even seems like it might happen, I get really freaked out. It's scary to want something so much. And it's even scarier to think you might get it. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've fallen in love or gotten a job opportunity, or you had an idea that lit you up so bright that you just knew you had to do it. And it scared the shit out of you. When something like that gets dropped in your lap, you never really feel ready, even if you've been wishing for it for a long time. I always imagine that when whatever the thing is comes my way, I'll be a different, better version of myself. I'll be a person who's deserving of the love, or the job, or the big idea. I'll know what to do with it. I won't screw it up. Lent is the time when I plan to get it all together and become that person. Whether it's through fasting or praying or letting go of my small, mean thoughts and self-destructive habits, every year, I hope I'll come out of the desert with Jesus, renewed and ready to shine in the light of the resurrection. I'll be ready to dance, ready for all the blessings God is going to shower on me. It never works like that. God puts things in my path, sometimes things I've asked for, often things I have not. And I'm still the same me that I've always been. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I'm the antihero. I'm Toad with the covers over his head, not ready to bask in the warm light of April or count the stars at night. In tonight's passage from Matthew, I wonder if the man with the withered hand was ready for Jesus to heal him. Keep in mind, I am a congregant preacher. I have not been to divinity school, but I personally wonder if he had something that he'd always dreamed of doing. And he thought, if only I could use my hand again, I could do this. And then when Jesus healed him, was he like, oh, now I have to do it? The good thing that is about to happen for all of us, or actually already happened, we're going to commemorate it happening about 2,000 years ago, is that Jesus gave his life for us. Here's how magical and beautiful that is. When my daughter Molly was about 5 years old, someone from our church gave her a Precious Moments Bible. I don't know if you know Precious Moments. It's like the cartoony characters. It's a children's Bible, illustrated children's Bible. And one rainy afternoon, she announced that she was going to read the whole thing all the way through, which she did. When she was done, I asked her what she thought. She kind of cocked her head. She thought for a minute and she said, well, I could tell they changed the story for kids. I said, what do you mean? And she said, Jesus died, but they made him come back to life. The resurrection is so beautiful. It's like a story from a children's book. The adult version and the kid versions are the same. So as Lent ends and we get ready to celebrate the resurrection, are we ready for something this good? Every week during Lent, we've had the chance to write something down that we want to let go of at St. Lydia's, if you've been attending. This worked better last night, guys. But we wrote something down that we're ready to let go of. And we sing, "Come bring your burdens to God." When I first learned that song, the person who taught it to me explained that this line, "Jesus will never say no," doesn't mean that Jesus is going to say yes to everything you pray for, right? In my experience, rarely, if ever, do I get a yes. Jesus will never say no means Jesus won't say no to carrying our burdens for us and walking alongside us. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," Jesus says in this week's scripture. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness. God loves us so much. She doesn't want us to go hungry or wear ourselves out trying to be good. She wants us to show ourselves and each other compassion. She wants us to lay our burdens down and rest in her love, knowing that we're already good. So, how much can you put down? And can you put down even a little more than that? What would it feel like to really rest? Really rest. To stop being so hard on yourself. To let Jesus carry your worries for you and to show yourself mercy. One place, sorry, it's water. One place I put something down recently is in my prayers. I used to spend a lot of energy figuring out what to pray for and then praying for those specific things. It was a particular job or an apartment or a relationship to work out. And I actually got very tired of trying to figure out what to pray for. Sometimes I wouldn't even pray at all because I didn't know what to pray for. It had become a burden for me to decide what was best for me so that I could then pray for that. So I stopped doing that. What helped me was to remember that in recovery, if you're familiar with the 12-step recovery, one of the steps is to pray only for knowledge of God's will for us and for the power to carry it out. So I started doing that, and that is what I do now. I pray only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry it out. But it's such a relief. I can't tell you, just to pray for knowledge. God, what do you want me to do? I don't have to pray for something specific. And thank goodness, because it's not a great idea, right? If Jesus never said no, when we pray for specific things, I'm going to tell you, I would be married to David Hasselhoff right now. Big Knight Rider fan. Big Knight Rider fan. Very young. So I'm very glad that it doesn't say yes. anyway, that is something that I put down. And it's the last week of Lent, but it's not too late to give something up, to put something down. And we don't have to pick it up again when Lent is over. Another recent realization for me. we can just let it go. Jesus will keep carrying it for us. Jesus and God are not going anywhere. Sometimes I get a little sad at the end of Lent because I'm really thinking about Good Friday and the crucifixion. And it's very sad. It's, you cry on Good Friday. And I have to remind myself that we celebrate Jesus's birth and death and resurrection to remind us of God's love for us, God's storybook love for us. But all of the things already happened. We're good. If we fall into the pit like that sheep, someone's going to lift us out. Probably going to lift us out first because we're more important than a sheep, we learn, even on the Sabbath. It might take a while. We might have to be patient, but maybe the pit is rest also. Maybe we curl up with the sheep and we look up for a little while, get a new perspective, and just rest. Sooner or later, frog's going to come knocking at the door and pull us out into the April light. And I'm mixing up all the metaphors, but you understand what I'm saying. We can walk into the light of springtime, of the resurrection, just as we are, with our broken Lent promises, our fears that we aren't good enough, that we aren't ready, and it's going to be okay. We can show ourselves mercy. The sun is going to shine on us all over again every morning, ready or not. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. So after a time of silent reflection, I invite you to share a brief story or experience that was sparked by tonight's text or by the sermon. We share stories and not opinions because stories help us to know each other better and because Jesus told stories. And we keep our stories brief so we have a chance to hear from more people. We could hear from all of us tonight. There's not that many of us here. Anyway, we'll begin in silence. And when Christian rings the bell, yes, I'll invite you to share.